everything is sales. Even if you're an attorney or an accountant or a doctor, everything is sales. If you have a poor bedside manner with a patient as a doctor, they're not going to stay with you for very long. It's all in how you treat the people who you want to work with, whether they're a referral source or a client.
You're listening to Be That Lawyer, life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Each episode, your host, author, and lawyer coach, Steve Fretzen, will take a deeper dive, helping you grow your law practice in less time with greater results. Now, here's your host, Steve Fretzen.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Be That Lawyer. I am Steve Fretzen. It's so good that you're with me today. And listen, it's another day to consider how important business development is for your law practice. You never know what's going to happen. When I was 26 years old, I was in a terrible plane crash and I survived, but it gave me one of those opportunities to really consider you only have one shot at this and you never know what twists and turns are going to happen in your life and you want to make the best of it. And I've got an amazing client and friend and attorney that is on the show today. And she's got an incredible story to share. And that is Nina Stillman, owner and managing partner of the Stillman Law Group. How you doing, Nina?
I am great. Thanks, Steve. I'm glad to know we're friends too.
Well, of course we're friends. You didn't know that we're friends?
Of course I did. I'm just teasing.
You busted my chops. We've been on the show for 30 seconds.
That's what I do.
What's going on with that? All right. Well, listen, what comes around goes around, just so you know.
It's the product of being raised, if you will, as a professional in a quote unquote man's profession.
Okay. Well, listen, we'll table that. But do me a favor and give a little background on your law practice and your kind of how you got into law.
Sure. So I went to law school and I completely thought I would be a criminal attorney until I realized I had to sometimes work with guilty people. That was not going to work. Then I thought maybe family lawyer. And then I realized I'm way too empathetic and I would get too tied up in the drama. So I went for the fun stuff and I practice in the area of estate and gift law. So planning people's estates, helping them pass their assets on to the next generation, helping them keep businesses in their family, things like that. And I love what I do. So that's, and I always am kind of a geek. So I love tax and tax classes. So that's how I got into it.
And have things been absolutely crazy with all the different tax changes going on in the world?
It's getting there for me. I think a lot of my clients are waiting to see what the actual results are, and I am trying to convince them to change their planning without waiting for the results, because it's probably going to be about a $5 million drop in the federal estate tax exemption, at least $5 million. So get on the stick before it's too late is what I'm trying to tell them.
Gotcha. And so in practicing for a number of years, what have you seen are kind of the main challenges, frustrations, concerns, things that lawyers generally have, because you're a solo practitioner growing a law practice, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
So what are the problems?
Yeah.
So mainly, you know, I'm a little unique in that I didn't grow up in the Chicagoland area and I moved here about 8 years ago. So the issue that I faced was networking, really, and which is why we are connected and our friends, aside from the fact that I love the networking that you've taught me, I didn't know very many people here. And I started out working in a bank. So when I left the bank, I didn't have clients and I knew a few people because I was at the bank for a year and had started networking. But I knew that I was good at it, but I could be better and I needed help finessing, let's put it that way, what I did and how I did it and to get a better result. I was struggling too much to get that client in the door. And now I'm able to convert referrals and create relationships with new networking partners much more effectively and quickly than I had before. And that is thanks in part to you.
Well, I have enjoyed working with you so far, and we'll get into that a little later, but I wanted you to share kind of what's going on in your life, because it's pretty unique what's happened to you and how you've sort of responded to it. Would you mind just kind of telling your story the last year or two?
Sure. So last year in 2020, I still did pretty well with the pandemic. Obviously, everything kind of shut down. I moved, you know, to work from home mode, and I was doing pretty good and still going into the office one day a week, maybe. And then in February of 2021, I went in for a routine mammogram, which, ladies, I will tell you, please, 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 if you take anything away from this, do not skip your mammogram. I ended up finding out that I had stage one breast cancer, and it's not something I would have found on my own. If I had waited till the point where I found it on my own, it would have been way too late. That's why I say do not skip your mammogram. The earlier you find it, the better. So for the last, since February, I have found out that I had this illness, this cancer, and I then set off on a whirlwind of doctor's appointments. I ended up having surgery, and then I had chemo, which not everybody has it in that order, but that was part of my deal. And so my whole sort of from February through the whole summer was spent being treated. And now I'm not exactly done, but I don't have the tough part left. But at the same time, I'm recovering from that treatment and working on building my stamina and strength back. So for example, I was able to work during the time, and I'll tell you why in a minute, but I was able to work during the treatment time about half time. Now I'm working half to three quarter time because of the level of tiredness that comes over me in the middle of a day. So, and I do have to work on weekends a little bit to get everything in for the week, but I want to tell you why I was able to work. And why I was able to work was because of the tools that I learned from Steve and the enhanced and more effective and more quickly created relationships and the better networking that I was doing and the better referrals I was getting and the more quickly I was able to turn them into clients. I received from, I just counted this morning to make sure I was accurate, between the time I was diagnosed and today, I've received 38 referrals. That is a phenomenal amount.
It's a big number.
And it is a big number, and not all of them were the right clients for me. Not everybody needed work, but I have turned 14 of them into clients. And I really did very little networking while I was really in the midst of treatment. So I would say from April 15th to about now I've started back up and with my networking. But for those months, I did nada, reached out to no one, and still was able to capitalize on the relationships that I had created before. And I'm so, so grateful to Steve. I jokingly have always called him the lawyer whisperer, because he takes what we know intuitively and might be afraid to speak about or say to a prospective client or a networking resource. And he helps you say it in a way that makes everybody comfortable. Instead of saying, hey, why don't you send me a referral? He teaches you a methodology to make every relationship a win-win, so that you're providing something, they're getting something, and it makes that person in return want to help you as well. So I really wanted to come on to this podcast, really not so much to tell my story, but to thank Steve for helping me stay afloat. I'm not only a sole practitioner, I really don't have any support staff, but I'm a single woman in the city of Chicago. I'm responsible financially for my whole everything. I'm the only one who provides the support. So through the things I've learned through Steve and putting them into action, even before my diagnosis, I was able to keep myself running and pay my bills because I was able to keep working. And it really has meant the world to me.
Well, and listen, I appreciate that so much. And listen, I say this on a pretty regular basis, but it's I'm only as good as my player, right? So I can be the greatest coach in the world, but if someone's not willing to take in the content and execute on the field and make those relationships happen to generate the referrals, the introductions, then, you know, my programs and my time and my coaching is really no good to anybody. So I really try to focus on working with the best attorneys that are interested, coachable, and open-minded to learning different approaches, different ideas. And I will tell you, and everyone knows this, you know, what I'm teaching is not rocket science, right? There's no, I'm not teaching how to get into space. However, you're right. There's process, there's language, there's ways of approaching things that are important. It's sometimes the subtleties that matter, right? Is that a big part of it?
That is exactly what I needed. I needed the subtleties, the approaches, the language. I was always nervous that I was going to say something wrong and didn't always know how to communicate what I was trying to get across. And Steve's language, although I will say I felt funny using it at first till I was able to put it in my own personal vernacular, it worked and it helped me. So I might have sounded stiff at first when I started learning it, but now that I understand the methodology and the philosophy behind it, and I've adjusted the script, if you will, to my own vernacular and how to say things, it really has improved my client relationships, my referral partner relationships, and in turn has enabled me to receive so many referrals and turn the ones I want into clients. And that's actually a really important part of what Steve teaches you, is you don't have to take every client. Every client is not right for what you are trying to accomplish. So he also helped me hone where I'm going with my practice. Who do I want to serve as my clientele? And those people who are not correct for that, I can refer them to someone else and score a point with that person because I gave them an opportunity and help the potential client, of course, which is the main goal in the process. And I even had a referral who's a great guy. I would have loved to work with him. He had a plan drafted several years ago when estate tax limits were much lower. And now that we're in a position where they're going to be lowered again, he actually didn't need any work because his plan, by luck, happened to still be older and covered those limits and where his assets were. So I was able to score a point with him and say, you don't need any work. I would leave it just as it is, and gave him the explanation why. And to round it out and finish the story, his son called me the other day and I met with him this morning to work on a plan for him because the father trusted me to give him the right advice.
Yeah. And to go back to something you mentioned earlier, you know, we all want business and we all want to try to, you know, get the yes. However, there's some benefit to getting someone to a quick no and not investing more and more time in someone who isn't a fit. And then again, to your point, driving them to another lawyer, another professional that would be a better fit. So A, you're saving time not working with someone or not following down a path where it's not going anywhere really. And then also feeding someone else a piece of business that's going to be, you know, potentially a great way to sort of, you know, prime the pump, if you will, to then, you know, show your value and maybe get something back in return or not. Either way, you're doing what's right for the client.
Right. And that really is the true goal. And if I'm not the right person for them, then that's fine. I want them to have the right person for them. The ultimate goal is a happy client, whether they're my client or someone else's. I can't tell you how many of my 38 referrals since February, but it's a good chunk, were people who came from other attorneys that they were dissatisfied with.
Yeah.
And so for one reason or another, and, you know, I think that's the ultimate goal. There was one case that sticks out. I work with them quite a bit. An older mother, she's in her 90s. Her daughter called me. She was referred by her best friend, who's also one of my clients. But mom is, you know, she's in her 90s. She slowed down. She's still with it. She's just not quite as quick as she used to be. And the attorney they'd been working with was concerned that mom was being influenced by the daughter, was concerned that mom was losing her capacity. And I sat down and talked with mom, even via Zoom. The daughter was nowhere around. I made sure I could see the daughter, but she wasn't close to mom so that she couldn't stand behind the camera and, you know, make gestures or anything. And mom's just with it. She's as with it as she can, as she, anybody would be at 92. She's just slower. And so just taking the patience and finding the right match for the client is what's really important. And this guy just, they had been working with, wasn't communicating with them and just wasn't patient with mom and thought because she was slow to answer, she didn't know what she was saying. So it's a tricky game, but you have to really listen and put the client's needs in front.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And let's go back a step. And you mentioned 38 referrals coming in. What are some of the things that you and I worked on together or that you executed on to build the relationships that led to a number of those referrals? What are some things that you've been doing that have really helped to whether we say prime the pump or just, you know, helping others? What would you say are some of the things that help set the right tone for getting those inbound referrals?
I would say the biggest thing and is improving my client communication so that I'm always staying in front of my clients on a regular basis, giving good service, giving feedback to the referral source, and asking a lot of questions. So the due diligence part or the discovery part of the process, even with a referral source, let alone obviously a potential client, is the part that really I think hit home. Asking the right questions. What are they looking for? Why are they looking for it? Why did you choose me? Is there something that I do that you thought would make that client a right fit for me? Which also began the process of figuring out whether it's a good client for me or not to get the best service for that client. Really, I think the due diligence and just being really present with my referral sources and then also potential clients. I just, for a brief moment, looked at my list of clientele and the referrals, and some of them are from my previous clients. Actually, two or three of them are from my biggest client. And the others are mostly from folks who I network with and creating relationships. Everything, whether you want to think about it or not, I kind of tease Steve a little bit, everything is sales. Even if you're an attorney or an accountant or a doctor, everything is sales. If you have a poor bedside manner with a patient as a doctor, they're not going to stay with you for very long. It's all in how you treat the people who you want to work with, whether they're a referral source or a client. And Steve just helped me realize a few things. Everybody likes to talk about themselves, ask some questions, show some real interest with your deeper question, not just how are you doing? Really, how did that go? That sounds really interesting. Tell me more about that event or that incident with your child or whatever the case may be. Really showing that you care. And I think that is one of my trademarks as an estate planning attorney. Most of my clients, almost all my referral sources are also friends, but most of my clients are also friends as well. It becomes a relationship that is long-term.
Well, I think part of what I'm working with attorneys on across the board is to stop talking so much and solving so much and just focus on listening, focus on asking good questions, taking things deeper, letting the person speak. And what ends up happening is, A, you get a lot more information out of them, which is helpful to understand if they're a good fit or not. And also it builds a stronger bond. It builds that trust. And I know even as something as small as my wife and I go out for dinner and someone asks my wife a question about her job, about teaching, and we'll walk away and she'll say, you know, I really like them. They were really nice. And I know it's because they asked her about her. And if they just went on and talked the whole time, my wife and I would have left and she would have said, I don't think I want to go out with them again. I didn't care for them or whatever. And it's like, it's so clear that that's how we build relationships, but yet we're just so anxious to talk and sell and solve and all of that, that we don't really have that chance to build the same level of trust.
Exactly. And it's hard for me. I'm a talker. So I have to remind myself, I have a little Nina in my head that says, okay, shut up now. Let them talk. Yeah. So it's especially when I'm meeting with a client or potential client for the first time, my process is that I usually have a phone call and I let that potential client talk a lot. And then they ask me, okay, what's your process? And so I send them a questionnaire and then we get together for a meeting and they fill out the questionnaire. So they're sort of at that point interviewing me about, okay, what's our situation and what do you think we should do? So it's hard because in that meeting, I tend to talk more than the client does because now they're asking me for my opinion. But I really try hard to ask, do you have any more questions? Is there anything else I can answer for you? Tell me more about X, Y, or Z. You mentioned this was a priority in the values part of the questionnaire. Tell me why. And I really try to make it a point to do that so that they don't feel like I'm just a talking head for an hour telling them very technical information. It can get overwhelming. And reading the room also. You can see when a client or potential client's eyes glaze over because the conversation is getting to be too much. So, and there's a lot to learn from a client perspective when you're sitting down with an estate planning attorney. A lot of people tend to think it's like financial planning, but it's not. It's different. It works with it, but it's not the same.
Right. So I think we're talking about, you know, whether you're dealing with a prospective client or you're dealing with a potential referral partner, it's going to be a lot more listening. I don't know if the 80-20 rule applies, if we take it to that degree, Some might say that's too much, but I think that's probably okay, if, especially if you're trying to build a relationship and make a friend, to focus on asking the questions and listening 100%. And then from there, you know, you're going to be in a much better position to, you know, to go to a next step.
Exactly. And, you know, it seems kind of silly because, you know, lawyers do this all the time. You'd think we'd be good at it. And you think I wouldn't have to remind myself to let the client speak, but I do. So the other tool of Steve's that has been incredibly helpful is making an agenda for your meeting and making sure the other side is okay with following that agenda. Just setting it out so that they know they're going to get to speak and I know I'm going to get to speak. It sort of mentally reminds me, you don't have to talk all the time. Be quiet, you'll get your turn. The agenda helps immensely. And that's whether it's a networking person or a potential client.
Now, some people are going to hear that, Nina, and they're going to go, that sounds too formal for any kind of meeting, setting an agenda and putting specific points in place. Why? So I obviously know why the agenda is so helpful. And I know why it's such a big part of the sales free selling process that I teach. But what are some of the key elements of the agenda that make a meeting go better for everybody?
Again, a little bit of what I just said, everybody understands what we're going to be talking about, and it doesn't have to be formal. This is not a formal agenda you're sending out before. It's a few points that you write down and you say, well, we've got 45 minutes or an hour. Is that going to still work for you? So that you're not taking up someone's time or you're not surprised if they say, I have a hard stop at half an hour. Then you can adjust your agenda or the ideas you want to talk about to fit that time period. Another reason is to get them in the habit of frankly saying, yes, yes, that still works for me. How about if I really want to hear about your business? How about if we take the first 15 minutes and talk about your business, and then I'll tell you about mine. And then we can figure out ways in which we're complementary to one another. And then we'll figure out how we're going to work together. And so right there, that didn't sound very formal. It just said, I really want to hear about you. I'll tell you a little bit about me. Are we going to be able to make it a fit? Do we have some synergy that makes sense for us? And again, that gets to the Steve point of not, frankly, putting a lot of time and energy into someone who you don't have synergy with, who the relationship is maybe just going to end up being friendly and not business related. And then how do we work together? How can we find a place where I can help you? How can I help you? How can you help me? Whether you actually say that or not, if I just say, how can I help you? They usually tell me how they can help me. They ask me. So it becomes a mutual relationship. Again, you, when you're sort of putting that out there, you say, will that work for you? Or is that, does that sound good? They're going to say yes again. So again, it really helps set it up and people appreciate it. I have found when I'm talking to them, because they understand what we're going to talk about, they know their time is not going to be wasted. It gives them the ability to say yes or no to certain things, and it respects their time as well.
Yeah, and so I think what we're saying is that there's a way to not have a meeting end with, I'll keep my eyes open, I'll think about it, or this was great, and then you never hear from them again. What we're trying to do is we're trying to set some ground rules that both parties can agree to identify a fit, to keep within a time frame, to identify where there's synergies, and to discuss a possible next step. And if that's of interest to you as a networker who's investing valuable time, right, then it's going to keep things done in a more organized way that doesn't have to be super formal, but at least it's organized where both parties are on the same page versus, you know, let me spend the hour showing you, you know, photos of my 27 cats or my trip to Disney or, you know, some things that you're going to want to you're just going to want to escape from the room, you know, so that's really where these agendas come in. And when they're done properly, buy-in happens. It's almost like a verbal contract of sorts that both parties feel would benefit, you know, everybody.
I agree. I'm chuckling a little bit because when I started with Steve, the thing I always used to forget was, and what's the next step?
And what's
and
the
I'm
next
chuckling step? Because I forgot to mention that now.
Well, listen,
I'm a little out of practice, I will say. I'm going to have to read, what's the non-selling book?
Sales free selling.
That's the most helpful book for me. I'm going to have to read that one again.
Yep. That's a go back to the well, and you don't have to read the whole thing again. Maybe you could, but
nope.
You know, go to the chapter that is on agenda setting, right? So you could just
exactly.
read that most of the stuff I write is either tactical, or I actually give the language and give like a role play or an example, so you can actually either read it or say it out loud. And then
that is
right.
So why I work with you. I had an experience a week or so ago at a meeting, and there was a woman who was supposed to come in, and it happened to be a meeting just for women. And she was going to talk about negotiating. And I found her so completely condescending. She did not give any tactics. She just kept saying, "You have to have this confidence, ladies." She actually used the word "girls" once. Mm. And I about cut out of the meeting. I didn't, out of respect for the person who invited me. But I found her so condescending because she wasn't teaching me anything. She was telling me how to be. Yeah. And trying to tell me I didn't have the confidence to do this, and this is how I should get it. And I was really kind of offended by her. So one of the things I love about working with Steve and Steve's information, which is frankly available to everyone, is he gives you concrete steps and tactics and things to try and use to improve your goal. On your goal, whatever that goal may be. Honestly, my goal wasn't closing. I'm usually pretty good at that. It was getting up to bats. So my focus when I started with Steve was, how do I get networking partners to refer me more? And clearly with 38 referrals in the last couple months, I've done that. And then I, through that process, I also learned to apply it to potential clients and was able to convert quite a few into clients, even though I wasn't in the greatest place in my life. So I can only imagine how well I'll do when I'm back to full speed. And I really owe a great gratitude and debt to Steve for teaching me how to be more polished and professional and to the point.
Well, I was hoping you'd say some kind words, but I wasn't expecting this kind of a free flow. But I appreciate you. I appreciate that you put the work in, that you take in the content, and then you use it, and you're using it in such a constructive way to get the kinds of results that you were hoping for and then some. And that's, for me, that's why I get up every day, is to work with you, Nina, and others like you to help you get those kinds of results. And I just appreciate your sharing that, because I think people listen to this, they may not realize the kinds of results that can happen when two great people get together and partner. But so anyway, so it's all beautiful stuff and much appreciated. Let's move on to the final part or phase of the show. And that, of course, is the three best of. Now, you're a local yokel with me here in Chicago. And what neighborhood are you in Chicago?
So I'm sort of in between River North and Gold Coast. I live sort of in a neighborhood where River North runs into the Gold Coast, runs into Old Town. So I've got a lot at my disposal. So hit me with your questions.
All right, let's do it. So the first one is, I'm taking my wife out for a night in the city. What restaurant should I hit? Where am I taking her to blow her mind?
I would say there's a few that I can think of. I would say I'm going to tell you to start with a drink at a little place called Sparrow on Elm. And it is an old speakeasy. It's a teeny bar, and it used to be connected to a hotel, which is now an apartment building. And it's very romantic, very special, and you will feel like you're doing something wrong, which is what you should feel at this place, because the hotel used to be where high-ranking Chicago citizens used to go to have tete-a-tetes. And so it's kind of funny. The decor is hotel keys. So that's one. But the restaurant you should take her to is Etta, which is very good. And they have a wide variety of foods and the best mushroom pizza I've ever had in my life.
Okay. Is that EDDA or EDA?
ETTA.
Oh, it's way off. Okay. ETTA.
You were close.
Etta. Okay. Awesome. Well, that's going to happen. Maybe I'll just meet up with you. Leave my wife behind. I'm coming into the city. I'm from out of town, or I'm in the North Shore, and I haven't been in the city in a long time, whatever. What's a hot thing to do right now if I'm heading into the city?
I would say, since it's fall, one of the great things to do that a lot of tourists don't always think of is go to Lincoln Park. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. You can be by the lake. You can go to the zoo for free. You might need to make an appointment during COVID. I'm not sure if they still have that policy in place, but it's still free and it's gorgeous. And they have hot coffee and popcorn and walk around and see the animals. And it is an incredible free zoo in the middle of a city. And it's not just like this rinky dink place. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, it is really nice. I agree. And in the winter, they do the like the holiday lights or something like that.
That's yes, cool. They do. They do holiday lights starting around Thanksgiving and it goes to New Year's. And you do need tickets for that. And they even have adult evenings there where they have beverages for adults. So I know for sure you need, because you have to prove your age, you need tickets for that part. But it's not, I think the other nights are free, but the adult nights definitely have a cost, but it's worth it. It's so fun.
Okay. And then final question, what do the locals in your neighborhood do for fun? What are they into right now?
The beach. We're still trying to, we try to in Chicago, because we have such a short season, walking by the lake is kind of a year-round thing. And we do not stop just because the weather gets a little colder. And there's no harm in sitting down on the beach and just enjoying the lake for a little bit. Pretty soon we're going to be stuck inside. So being outside as much as possible. And it's nice. You get to tour a bunch of neighborhoods just by walking around the lake and seeing, you know, the Northwestern campus, the beautiful buildings in the Gold Coast, the all the buildings along the lake shore. Pickleball is another big one. I know it's big out in the suburbs for you, Steve, but I think it's getting bigger here in the city. And that's a super fun activity.
Yeah. And I think that's great for all ages, where some sports are just more challenging and I'm getting older as well. And I found that pickleball was much easier for me, for example, than like singles tennis or something where you know, it's just brutal. Well, that's fantastic. And if people want to reach out to you to use you for estate planning and tax, if they want to network with you, how do they get in touch?
The easiest way is by phone, and that is 312-819-5360. 312-819-5360. I could also always be reached by email, which is Nina, N-I-N-A, at all one word, the Stillman Law Group.com. And Stillman is spelled S-T-I-L-L-M-A-N, lawgroup.com.
Well, fantastic. Well, listen, I just want to say again how wonderful I think you are. Shout out to Provisors. We're both, you know, very involved in that networking operation. And we have made a lot of great friends in that community. And just thank you for being you and for doing so great and for being my friend, my client, et cetera. And, you know, and thanks for being on the show and just in sharing your time with my audience and telling your story.
Well, I'm right back at you, Steve. Thanks so much. It was really not a shock to me in any means, but when I really sat down and sort of looked back over the last 6 months, I was so pleased to be able to realize how much you have helped me and how much you've kept me going through this process. And of course, you were a great friend and you checked in with me several times to make sure I was doing all right. And that, honestly, for anybody out there as a side note, you know, anybody who's going through anything, all they really want from you, other than maybe some physical help with things, all they really want from you is to know that you're thinking of them and wishing them well. That was the greatest boon to me the whole time. And still, that people think of me and think well of me and are praying for me or whatever the case may be. It's just lovely. It boosts your morale immeasurably.
Yeah. We all need to feel understood and wanted and loved. And I think you've got that in spades from us, your family and friends and everybody. So listen, everybody, thank you for spending some time with Nina and I today. And hopefully you got a couple of good takeaways, some thoughts about, you know, what it's like to go through something challenging and come out the other side and, you know, continue to thrive as a lawyer. You know, you think you've got it rough. Look, there's always people that have it rougher and you just got to keep a positive mental attitude and keep pushing forward. So listen, thank you for spending time and be well, be safe. And we'll talk again soon. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks so much, Steve.
Thank you, Nina. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Be That Lawyer. Life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Visit Steve's website, fretson.com, for additional information and to stay up to date on the latest legal business development and marketing trends. For more information and important links about today's episode, check out today's show notes.